Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
All right. We are talking health care reform tonight here on Air America Radio. And I was a bit confused, still am actually, about these sort of dueling stories that I read. Did the White House or didn't the White House cut some kind of deal with Big Pharma over negotiating prices for drugs? So I called on Ryan Grimm from Huffington Post. And what I wanted to talk about was the story you wrote on Friday about the White House confirming a deal with big pharmaceuticals about price negotiations. And today I read, I think Sam Stein had a piece saying that now the White House is saying that's not true.
Right.
Can you sort of fill us in on what happened?
Well, not exactly clear what happened, you know, which kind of undermines what Obama had said he'd do in the during the campaign, where he said he was going to put the healthcare negotiations on C-SPAN, and you know, there would be cameras there watching all of the stakeholders. He specifically even named the drug makers as stakeholders whose negotiations would go on, you know, in front of these cameras, so everybody could see what was going on. So here's what we know: in June, the White House announced, along with the Max Baucus and the Finance Committee, the White House announced that it had reached an $80 billion deal with Big Pharma. Big Pharma had agreed to cut $80 billion of costs over the next 10 years. Now, what the White House agreed to, it didn't say at that time. Now, in the LA Times and then in the New York Times after that, it was reported that the White House had said to Big Pharma that that drug negotiations, using the government's power to negotiate for lower drug prices, would not be in the healthcare reform bill. Neither would re-importing cheaper drugs from Canada. And they said that's on the record. So then, on later that week, Representative Sherrod Brown, a liberal Democrat from Ohio, pressed Axelrod and Jim Messina. Jim Messina was the one who was quoted in the New York Times confirming the deal, mm-hmm. pressed them in a meeting and said, is this true? Did you sell us out to, essentially, did you sell us out to pharma for this $80 billion concession? Brown and Dodd told me that that their answer was no, we did not. You guys are free to do, whatever it is that you want, in the healthcare bill. Dick Durbin said the same thing to Bloomberg TV in an interview. The next day, the story goes further, and the White House tells me that yes, this is what the deal is. Perhaps Brown and Dodd misunderstood what we were telling the Democrats. In fact, here's the deal: they've committed to cutting $80 billion in costs. That means anything that's not part of that $80 billion cost cutting, any pain that could come to Big Pharma beyond this $80 billion, is off limits in the healthcare bill. Now, that means Brown is free to do his drug negotiation language in a separate bill. Means, say, Dorgan is free to push a reimportation from Canada bill, but these have to be outside of the healthcare bill. That's something that they'd agreed to.
Okay, and in okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you. We're on a roll here.
Now, they told the New York Times on Friday that actually, and then they told me later on Friday, that actually drug price negotiations never came up in talks with Big Pharma. They told me that they're off limits because they're outside the $80 billion. The New York Times asked Linda Douglas of the White House, well, just because they didn't come up, does that mean that they're part of these negotiations? And she wouldn't comment on that. Now, logically, if you can't find any savings beyond $80 billion, then yes, drug price negotiation, using the government's power to negotiate drug prices, is off limits. Now, what they said to Sam and some other reporters today is basically the same thing, that we never negotiated whether or not we could use the government's power to negotiate for lower drug prices, but we're sticking with this $80 billion figure. Now, what does that mean? We're getting into Alice in Wonderland territory. What is going to happen when members of Congress? Now, the House has already passed the bill through their three committees that has negotiations with drug companies in it. What's going to happen when the Senate pushes it? You know, that's where this is going to hit the road. We're going to, because at some point, this is going to have to come to light, what actually is being said.
I'm just blown away that there's so much backpedaling on this one issue, and if they can't reach a consensus on this about what was said and what deals were cut, it sounds like we're in worse shape than I thought we were.
Well, this is pretty huge because the big pharma, you know, might have the power to just to kill the thing outright. If you look at what they're giving in return, you know, they're getting, you know, multi-billion-dollar concession out of this, and this is the strange way that politics works. So they're willing to spend $150 million on an advertising campaign. That's more than John McCain spent on TV commercials for his entire presidential campaign.
Wow.
$150 million in political terms is huge money. But here's the paradox. It's chump change in the real world. So for chump change, you know, pharma can get this massive concession because they have the power, perhaps, to kill it if they go onto the other side. So in a sense, they're holding the whole thing hostage.
Wow. And what those who are saying, well, there's no deal here. The other possibility is that we go back afterwards and have another bill that says we can negotiate for lower drug prices or to import from Canada.
Right.
That has nothing to do with the health care bill. But if we're doing a massive health care bill, shouldn't it include pharmaceuticals?
Well, it should. But if it does, then Big Pharma will oppose it. And the whole thing might die. And so, that's the question. You know, it can, you know, Obama is apparently making the calculation that they're, they'll fight that fight another day, and they don't want, you know, that say the insurers are going to be enough to fight. But even the insurers are sort of on board at this point. It's a, you know, it's a very strange coalition of folks who are sort of supporting healthcare reform, if not, but they're not supporting all elements of it. They don't support the public option.
Well, and without a public option, I mean, I think we have nothing. We are speaking with Ryan Grimm from Huffington Post. We'll take a break, come back on the other side with more of our conversation. Don't go away.
Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall, or he that gets it.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
As the song goes, I don't need no doctor. Well, you can't get no doctor right now unless you're just incredibly lucky at the moment. It's Nicole Sandler back with you here on Air America Radio. On the phone with Ryan Grimm. Actually, I spoke with him a couple hours ago and taped this because I had so many questions about these conflicting stories on Huffington Post. Ryan wrote a piece on Friday that said the White House confirmed that they had a big deal with Big Pharma barring price negotiations. Well, today, his colleague Sam Stein had a different story. White House insists it didn't give away the store to Big Pharma. So I was talking with Ryan about that, and we were just at the point where he said it's still not clear whether there was a deal or there wasn't a deal, but Big Pharma looks like they're going to come on board and support President Obama's health care reform plan or health insurance reform plan. That wouldn't preclude us from putting forth a bill in the future to negotiate price breaks. The whole thing just sounds so fishy to me. Anyway, but what Ryan said was they are supporting some of this health care reform, but they are not for a public option. And here's what I had to say to that. Well, and without a public option, I mean, I think we have nothing. So could that be a condition?
We have worse than nothing.
Right.
Probably worse than nothing.
That's right, because it's
an expansion of the corporate state.
That's right. It's a gigantic, if you will, bailout of the for-profit insurance and for-profit healthcare industries.
It's a mandate
for the public to buy products from those people where right now at least they don't have to if they don't want to.
Right. It'd be ridiculous. It'd be, you know, 50 million new customers forced into a broken system.
Right.
That would cost just ever rising.
This, I mean, it's almost like a comedy of errors unfolding here. And any thoughts? I mean, do you think from what we've seen so far that the Senate is going to come back with a public option, or are they going to try to put forth a bill that has no public option?
Well, the Finance Committee, you know, I would bet my, bet anything that the Finance Committee will put out a bill that does not have a public option.
Unbelievable.
Now, the health committee will, you know, already has a bill out there that does have one.
Mm-hmm.
The House has one that does have one. So it's all going to come down to how firm progressives can be in conference committee negotiations between the House and the Senate. Now, progressives are saying that they're not going to vote for anything that doesn't have a public option. If they stick to that, they can kill any bill. And they so far have been saying that they're going to stick to that. They have enough members that Democrats don't, you know, Pelosi doesn't have enough votes without progressives. So it's possible that they could force this, force the public option to be part of it, just because of this reality that you and I and everybody else is aware of. That if it doesn't have the public option in it, what is it? You know, it's just a tax hike on people. It's a penalty for not getting lousy health insurance from a corrupt system. You know, thanks a lot.
Well, it's interesting that out of four town hall meetings he will be holding this week, President Obama will have one of them in Montana, in Max Baucus's backyard. And hopefully he'll put some heat on the senator who heads up the Finance Committee.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that is that, you know, national media is focused on the right-wing outburst at town halls in the last week or so, but when Baucus held 20 town halls about a month ago out in Montana, it was actually single-payer folks who were the ones who were that dominated his town halls throughout Montana. I wrote about that at the time, that everywhere that his staff went, he himself didn't go. He just sent a video of himself. But everywhere that his staff went, they were bombarded with questions about why he had ruled out single payer as the way to reform the healthcare system. So Obama will find, you know, an ironically receptive audience up in Montana, I bet.
Well, the interesting thing is that, you know, that's who should have been attacking Baucus, but that's the wrong word, because I'm sure these people were actually coming with legitimate questions and well-thought-out arguments, unlike these AstroTurf protests that we're seeing now, which they're following this rule book telling them to disrupt and shout out and not let anyone have intelligent discourse.
Right. They weren't. That's true. They weren't shouting anybody down. They were saying, "I have friends in Canada and they like the system."
Mm-hmm.
Or my relative lost her health care coverage after she got sick. You know, what does that have to do with health insurance? That's not insurance. You know, they were making the case for it rather than shouting them down.
Right, and I would guess, and I would guess that most of these Democratic Congress people who are having the town hall meetings, who are getting shouted down, would welcome an intelligent Q&A. You know, really discuss what the problems are and what the needs are. But that's not what's happening right now. So, Ryan, what are you working on today?
I am actually calling around to different members of Congress's office and getting their sign-in sheets from the town hall meetings. And I'm going to publish the story soon. At the most controversial town hall meetings that you're seeing pop up on YouTube, when they look at the sign-in sheets, it turns out that only about a quarter to, you know, less than half of the folks at the meeting are actually from in their district, that most of the people are coming from outside their district in order to, you know, disrupt and cause this mayhem.
Yeah, gee, somehow I'm not surprised. I spoke with someone. I'm down in South Florida, and Congressman Robert Wexler, who represents South Broward County and South Palm Beach County, North Broward, is having a meeting a week from Thursday. And I was speaking with his press secretary, who said that already their phones are being bombarded by people that have been told to call by FreedomWorks, trying to get information on it. So they're already expecting a battle a week from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Is that far off?
Well, I'll ask for their sign-in sheet then. when they're finished, it'll be interesting to see how many people are from in the district. Because, you know, even if you're organized by FreedomWorks to go out and do this, at least if you're a registered voter in the town hall, then, you know, you've got every right to go there and ask a question or, you know, tell the congressman what your opinion is. But what he'll probably find is that in order to organize this many people to get out to the town halls, they have to reach into other congressional districts and you know, sort of, bus people in, so to speak.
Yeah.
So it's nice to compare addresses to and ideas to the voter list and to the local list, see if
Absolutely.
People actually live there.
Now, can they get people when they have, I know they have them sign in, can they ask for ID and to see their, like a driver's license to find out where they live, to put their zip code down?
You know, this is a country that values its, where a lot of it, people value their privacy. They really cherish and hold on to it tight. So, you can always ask. I would suspect that a lot of people would refuse it. The sign-in sheets that I've been looking at, they said that about half of the people at some of the meetings actually signed in, and then at others it was that ones that started out more calmly. Almost all the people signed in, so you actually have there's kind of a correlation between how rowdy the event is and how few people want to sign in. The ones that got the rowdiest, Lloyd Doggett in Texas, almost nobody signed in because they were, they knew that they were going there just to disrupt, so they weren't interested in getting any information, from the congressman or telling them where they were from.
Right.
So the people who were there seriously don't have any problem saying, I live down the block, because they're proud of the fact they live down the block. They want to be part of the community. That's why they're going to the town hall meeting. People that are there just to protest, they're probably going to, decline to say where they're from.
Right. Well, I've noticed a new trend. Both Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Ron Klein, two other members of Congress from around here, have both decided to, instead of doing physical town hall meetings, do telephone town hall meetings where they have more control over what goes on. And they're saying they can reach more people that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you can reach thousands through these telephone town hall meetings. You could do them online. And I've heard of some people that are thinking about or have already had RSVP only events. And, in America, you're free to have an event and, invite people to it. And, everybody's invited, but you have to RSVP. And if you don't RSVP with your name and address, then they don't let you in at the door. I would think that would be fine. That would be an acceptable way of doing it.
I think so, too. Well, I think they're going to have to start initiating some of these different methods so it can be, a constructive event rather than a destructive event, which is what the army of Dick is the only way I can refer to it, what they're trying to do.
Yeah, no one's saying they can't have a protest. If they want to organize a protest somewhere, they can organize a protest somewhere. But, the town halls are supposed to be a Q&A, a give and take, a place where ideas are debated.
That's right.
Not shouted down.
All right. Ryan Grimm, I know you got work to do. I appreciate you spending some time with us tonight on Air America. And we'll check in again.
Oh, my pleasure.
Ryan Grimm, who, in addition to being the senior congressional correspondent for Huffington Post, recently wrote a brilliant book called This Is Your Country on Drugs. And again, that is back in my archives at radioornot.com. If you go back, one of these days I'm going to have to go through and organize the archives and sort of do a featured box so some of those older interviews can live on.